Hi, and welcome back to the Azure Remote App Core Skills Jumpstart. We're now going to start getting into the technical nitty-gritty of Azure Remote App. And in order to do that, Eric Orman, Senior Program Manager from the Azure Remote App team, has come along to start taking us through everything that we're going to be doing today. Before we do, though, I just want to just go very quickly back over the agenda. This section, we're going to be taking a look at Azure Remote App and taking an overview of the entire product. We're also, just to encourage you, if you haven't actually seen the section, you can scrub back in time, see the conversation that I just had with Brad around why Azure Remote App is such an important piece of technology inside of an enterprise mobility world and generally just inside of trying to get all of your Windows applications working wherever you need them to. Once we've got through this module, we'll be looking at the differences between hybrid and cloud deployments, which at this point could be a little teaser to the fact that you can do hybrid and cloud deployments, I guess. But we're going to take a look in this section at looking through Azure Remote App. We're also going to take a look a little bit more deeply at the deployment options. We're going to look at how you create a cloud collection, how you can add your own line of business applications into Azure Remote App. We're going to also take a look at how you provision access and how you think about application compatibility inside of an Azure Remote App world. So, Eric, welcome to the studio. Let's start off by thinking about Azure Remote App.
Yeah, thank you, Simon. Appreciate it. I'm Eric Orman. I'm a Senior Program Manager. My primary job is to work on Azure Remote App. So I'm really excited to be here and present on this because this is what I do.
Yeah.
So being able to do that is truly awesome. So without further ado, let's just jump right in. I'm going to be talking a lot of technical detail. So what is Azure Remote App? You know, Brad talked about that. But the things I'm going to take you on is what I kind of really refer to as the journey of the management and administrative experience of Azure Remote App. And we're going to be talking about identity. And so Brad talked about that, the different deployment options. You can create a cloud or a hybrid deployment of Azure Remote App. And I'm going to talk about the intricacies and the architecture of that. Talking about how do you get your application into Azure Remote App. That's where my first demo is actually going to be here in a couple minutes. And that could be your line of business application. That could be your particular office. How do you configure user access? And then follow up with, what's that end user experience? So we're going to look at interacting with the various different clients and the different capabilities of what those are. So let's dive right into that a little bit more. So the two deployment options of Azure Remote App is the cloud that's on the left-hand side and the hybrid. You know, the cloud deployment, it takes about 8 different clicks in order to create that. You can use either one of our provided images, the Microsoft images that have Office 365 Pro Plus pre-installed. And so if you have an O365 subscription, you can use those. Or you can create your own custom image, and I'm going to show you how to do that here, either one of those. The different authentication methods that are supported is basically anything that's supported in Azure. That includes Microsoft accounts, Azure Active Directory accounts, or those directory synchronized or federated accounts from your on-premises Active Directory accounts. That's cloud. And then there's hybrid. Hybrid, the real difference between cloud and hybrid is hybrid is domain joined. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. And those that are actually domain joined to your corporate environment. And so you get full access to your apps, your data on the back end, if your apps need Kerberos or different authentication methods for that. You have full access to install the Config Manager agent or Ops Manager, Operations Management, group policy on those particular endpoints to look at that. We support ExpressRoute in that. And then lastly, the only supported authentication method within hybrid deployment is directory synchronized accounts or AD connected accounts. And I'm going to explain the reason why, and I have a couple of workflows for you to understand that. But really, hybrid is really connecting your corporate identity back to your and your applications back to that to get your file service and your data. You know, all that's done through the power of the remote desktop. It has dynamic scalability, global presence, all these things that Brad continually talked about. I'm not going to deep dive into that, but let's go on to the next slide. And so I'm not going to show you how to create an Azure Remote App collection, but it's pretty simple. It's 8 clicks. You click new at the bottom. If you log on to the portal, remote app, quick create, that's a cloud. So step number 3, create with VNet. That would be your hybrid deployment. Why do you need a VNet? Well, I'm going to explain that. But for the sake of this one, this is a cloud. You name it, you pick your region, you pick a billing plan, you pick your image. why do I need an image? I'm going to explain that. Image has the applications that you want to publish out there. So, and then you hit 8, and that just creates your Azure Remote App Collection. And so what is this image? Well, the image has your applications that you want to publish. And so those particular images, we can either use what we have those Microsoft images. So those are quick and easy to get up and use. But if you have your own line of business application, whatever it is, you can install it. And I'm going to show you that and walk you through that in a demo. That would be what we call a custom image on that. And so when we really look at the two differences between the Microsoft images and the custom images is looking at the bottom right-hand corner of the slide there is the Microsoft images, you don't have ability to configure those. They're already pre-configured. They're optimized. You don't have admin access to those particular ones. But if you have a custom image, you have full access to configure that, install the applications on it that you need to make on that.
And Eric, just one very quick question there. The Microsoft images, presumably we patch those as well. We keep those
updated. Oh, yeah, definitely.
All that idea is security patches. When you say manage, that's exactly what you mean.
Yeah. Those Microsoft images are managed in the sense of we handle all the security updates on that, the antivirus, it's pre-installed on that. You just get to use the applications and don't need to worry about that. Now, for custom images, they're your images. So you do need to keep those updated on a regular basis, just like if you were managing your corporate images that you have.
Cool.
Office. So I'm going to briefly cut over to Office. We get these questions a lot around how does Office work in Azure Remote App? The only supported way to use Office in Azure Remote App is if you have an Office 365 Pro Plus plan. Now that plan comes bundled with all E3 and E4 O365 subscriptions, or you can buy it as a separate add-on. And so we have a Microsoft image that has all that pre-configured. And if you want to add that particular Office 365 Pro Plus, you can install that on your custom image and configure that for shared computer activation. But it's pretty simple in the sense of when you launch this and you have O365, it's going to be first prompt you to activate. Just enter in your O365 credentials. That's going to activate that particular instance. Now, what's really cool about that is those actually don't count toward, only one counts towards your actual activations in your O365. So no matter how many times you do it, if you have a corporate Azure Remote App, it only counts towards once.
And one of the things that I noticed that was really cool about that as well, you don't actually have to configure anything to say use this Office 365 subscription. It's just pulling that information directly
yep.
from the licenses in Active Directory.
Yep, and a lot of that's already done because you've already federated your particular O365 identity is already up there and using the same one.
Yeah, so if you've got Office 365, you can literally start using Azure Remote App without any real configuration.
Yep, exactly. Yep, very, very simple and straight. So, hey, let's jump out to a demo and let me show you actually what we're going to create a custom image. And that's the first step is you created a collection and then we're going to jump out and show you actually how to create a custom image. So you in this general use case would be you have your own line of business application. How do I get that into Azure Remote App? And so let me take a tour just really quick before they get there. So on the left-hand side, if you scroll down, you'll find Azure Remote App there. I've created 3 collections here, and those are the ones I'm going to be primarily using for my demo today. So let's hop back up. So here, and let's create a custom image. So I'm going to hop up virtual machines. Now you can either create your custom image on premises and then upload it. That might take a amount of time because they're custom images are big. It's a full VHD for that. Or the quick and easy way is just to create an Azure VM, and we have a pre-configured image for that. So if you come down here into the new, it's going to pop up, and then you go to gallery here. It's going to pop up. And here is the list of available images that Azure provides for you. And about the 5th one down right here is the Windows Server Remote Desktop Session Host. And what we'll want to do is pick that particular one. We're going to click next. We can name it, MVA Eric Test. Pick your particular size. This only matters when creating your image. This doesn't take effect later on. So, and you will be charged in terms of Azure consumption for creating this image. So I usually pick an A2. That's, and I can Eric, and I can enter a password. Next, and I'm going to click continue through here. I think pretty much everyone has configured has created an Azure VM before. So at that period of time, it's going to start provisioning that one. But through the power of cooking, I've actually pre-created one. And so let's just fast forward to that one. So I've had this other one I call Eric MVA. And so what I'm going to do on this one is I'm just going to hit connect. Of course, it's going to ask me to remote desktop because that's how I'm going to connect to it. I thought I had this pre-saved. I guess I didn't. And so here I am. I'm at my image. And at this point in time, I can go out to the internet. I can navigate, install my corporate applications, and do the necessary things. You know, if you want to install Adobe or QuickBooks or any of those particular things, go ahead right here at the desktop, install your applications like you're native. Once you've completed doing that, we have a script here on the desktop. It's our validation script. And what you'll want to do is run that particular script. And what this is doing is checking to confirm that this image is properly configured and that when you create your Azure Remote App Collection, that you have a successful first run experience. And so there's some things that we check, and I'm going to cover this later on, of building your own image. Like you need to have a remote desktop session host installed, getting file encryption turned off. And so what we've done through this gallery image is done a lot of that heavy lifting for you. And all you have to do is simply just install your applications, run the validation script, and then there's a few other steps here. And as you can see on the screen, it's asking you, the last thing you'll want to do is sysprep your image. And so we have just a very simple command line tool. I would click yes in this particular example, and the image would be sysprepped, and that completes that particular action.
So Eric, there was just a couple of quick questions that came in on the Q&A. Guys, please feel free to ask any questions that you want to on the Q&A. We're watching it. We're seeing what happens. Anything we don't get to, we will put into a blog post. One that came in that was really interesting from Conrad was, could we do what we just did with PowerShell? So could we create the machines using some PowerShell command lines?
Oh, sure, certainly. However, that's a very automated way of doing that. I'm just showing you a demo of the actual UI of how to do it. I like to work things on here, and PowerShell is an advanced capability. So yeah. Certainly you can do that, yes.
Yeah, so we have PowerShell commandlets that are available for Azure Remote App, which will enable you to do all of that.
Yeah,
if you wanted to.
Yeah, everything that I'm showing here, this would just be using your standard Azure PowerShells for VMs in order to create and pick which one and to do all those different things if you wanted to orchestrate that end-to-end action.
Cool, okay.
Cool. So I've already done that. The last thing that you'll want to do is at the point in time after it's sysprepped. So here's the example one that I have on here. I call it V2 tester. So that this particular VM has been completed its sysprep. And the next thing we'll have to do is actually capture it. So down here at the bottom, there is a capture button. And you want to capture that particular VM. I'm going to click it, and I would recommend to give it a very unique name in this, because later on when you want to go back and update your collection, let's say, oh, I forgot to add this registry key, or maybe I need to add this other application, what you'll want to do is keep iterating on that exact VM. That's a demo that I have later on I'm going to show you. But really key point here is I would make sure that you label this one. It has a time and date on that one. That's really good. Paste that one. I've sysprepped this, and then I click OK. What that's going to do is take another bit of time in order to capture that one. But when the job completes, if I click up in the images, it's going to show up right up in here. And so I have another one that's already done. I call it Ignite Eric Special. And that one's already sysprepped and ready to go. So at this point in time, I've created my custom image. I've sysprepped it. I've captured it. Now it's just an image that resides in my Azure VM. The next step that I'll need to do is actually import that into Azure Remote App. So I'm going to hop back out over here and go to Remote App. And up here in Template Images, up towards the top where you can see a template image, we actually need to import it into that. So I'm going to click on Template Images. And over in here is a list of the available template images that I have. And so I'm going to scroll this over. You can see this screen. But if I click down here at the bottom of Add, it's going to pop up. And it's going to walk me through a wizard. Now, again, I talked about this. If you can import from a virtual machine, that's that first item. Or you can upload an image. So if you use Config Manager or MDT or any other imaging creation to create a VHD file, you can then import that up. We have some PowerShell scripts that actually do that upload. But for the sake of this demo, to complete it, I'm going to import it, an image. And here I'm going to pick that particular one. There's only one that was available. I click I confirm that the following steps. Now, these are very important. If you've not gone through these, I would recommend clicking on these links to ensure there's some key requirements that are on here. I ran the validation template validation script. This is very important. You've sys prepped the image. Ensure the image meets the requirements. There's a couple of things. The one key one here that I really want to stress to you is that the image should not contain any data, like SQL Server databases. All your data should reside externally to the Azure Remote App instances. And I'm going to explain the reason why, and that fundamentally comes back to the architecture of how we actually, how Azure Remote App is architected for that. But the key point is you never keep your particular data on there. The OS and the images are really just hosts for your application. Your application requirements, I'm going to get into that in kind of the next slide. But I'm going to click next, and after that, it's going to import the particular image. And then at this point in time, I can create a collection. And as I showed before, very simple, I click new, I can click quick create, I name it, give it a reason, and then I particularly pick an image that was over here. And that's pretty simple. And so that's how you create a custom image, that's how you import it, and that's how you create a collection.
One of the questions that we had a little bit early on there was, and actually I missed it as well, what was the image that you used first that actually had the PowerShell in it that then takes you through doing the application validation?
Let me go back to that. That's really key on that. So hopping back to my screen here, I'm going to go back up. So that is an image that's available within the Azure Gallery. And so let me show you that process again. So if you go back to the Azure Virtual Machines node, right back up here, and you click New, it's going to follow you through. You're going to pick From Gallery. And it's this one right here. It's the Windows Server Remote Desktop Session Host. It's about the fifth one down that's on that list. Let me zoom in so you can see it right there. It's the one highlighted. And so that's the particular one, Simon, that you'll want to use to create
Windows Server 2012 R2 Windows, Windows Server Remote Desktop Session Host.
Yes.
Okay. So another question that I've just seen come in, and actually I think this is an interesting use case that has occurred over a few times. Obviously, we've had this is part of a core skills jumpstart for enterprise mobility. Lots of systems enter in there. A question that Michael just asked is, can the system center consoles be run from Azure Remote App? Because it would kind of seem like a convenient and easy way to do that. I guess the answer is yes.
Yeah, it's an app. Yeah. You know, it's a great option. You could actually install the Config Manager console in your custom image and remote that. I'm going to be talking a little bit more about that. And that's great because in order to get to it, the Config Manager console needs direct access to the Config Manager site server in order to actually use that. So that's a great example of an application that would be in a hybrid deployment of Config Manager or of Azure Remote App.
Yeah, I actually I know of one of our partners who's in the UK, a company called Inframon. They actually now do that as one of their deployment methods with folks when they're going through things and they're setting up the consoles. They're now setting them up inside of ARA in order to be able to give them easily to their customers. So yeah, it works. It's a really good way of being able to do it.
So hopping back over to the slides, so I showed you how to get your image up there. Now the particular application requirements for that. And so what I showed was your application needs to run on Windows Server 2012 R2. And what we've seen based upon our feedback and our testing is pretty much 85% of the applications out there will work on Windows Server 2012 R2. There's a couple of unique things that if the application developer follows standard Windows application best practices, and supports fast user switching, then the application will particularly work. And so what I mean by that is really that multi-user awareness. Now some applications, and what I mean by that is remote desktop, Azure Remote App is a multi-session system. So the easiest way to ensure that your application works in a multi-session is right when I was in there and I was installing the application, what I'd recommend is creating another user account for that. So call it user one and call it user two, and then perform two simultaneous remote desktop connections to it. Just standard remote desktop connections. And then launch the applications see if they run and make sure that they work properly. That's the easiest way to determine that the application actually is multi-session aware. You know, jumping back to the slides, you know, applications in terms of its resource utilization, being aware of any remoting nuances. What we've heard is Outlook, the taskbar. You don't get often the taskbar notifications. The recent Skype Windows installation actually won't show the taskbar notifications. So there might be some remoting nuances, which while you're testing your application, just make sure that those actually worked. Windows Store apps are not supported. So those are the new Windows 10 or universal applications or modern applications. Those are not supported. So only Windows 32 applications, so the classic applications. And when thinking about application compatibility, when you're creating your custom image, you know, install it on Windows Server 2012 R2, launch it, make sure it works properly, validate your application behavior before importing it and creating your Azure Remote App connection. And that's the best way in order to do that. So when going through that, there's a whole bunch of things here. These slides are available for you to download. So I'm not going to talk to every one of these different points, but there's some key image creation tips that are available for you out here in terms of the feedback that we have. Our documentation center out on azure.microsoft.com is another great place. There's actually a link at the very bottom for that. So screenshot or download these slides later on, and you can look at these particular things. When I look through all of these particular items, the biggest one for me is the last one, create and test and validate before you import and upload. That'll save you some time on everything. So you've done that. You've created a custom image or maybe used another one. You've gone through the 8 particular clicks in order to create the collection. And the next step after that is the collection is provisioning. And so this might take 25 to 30 minutes. Like, what is going on? We often get this question, like going underneath, why does it take so long for this to cook? You know, thinking about you've created all the ingredients, why does it take so long for the cake to cook? And that's the way that I think about what provisioning is. And so what we need to understand is the architecture of what's going on behind there. And understanding this will help us really realize why we can't store data on those images, and also why we have this elastic runtime that allows Azure Remote App to scale up and scale down to meet those seasonal needs that we talked about earlier. And so what's going on is, in this example here, we've got a master image on the left-hand side. And so we call that a gold image, master image, but ultimately at the end of the day, what that is your VM that you uploaded and you selected. So that, consider that is your image. And then during that collection, we actually create clones or copies of those. And so that's what we're creating on the back end as VMs. And so those particular VMs we call instances, or we don't really like to use the term VMs or Azure Remote App endpoints. So if you hear me say instances or endpoints, I'm referring to what those are. And so what happens when we're actually understanding our elastic runtime, so how we dynamically scale and scale down, is when users start connecting up, our system is intuitive and it knows. And so what we're going to do is going to create more instances on the back end. This is immaterial to you. That's one of the great things about Azure Remote App, is you don't need to worry about scale up or scale down or management of that. That's what you're paying us to do. Yeah. And so logically, you bring your users, you bring your applications, and we handle it. The easiest way I think about this is what O365 did for an on-premises deployment of Exchange. This Exchange is robust, it's heavy, but O365, you know, you just bring your users or your identity, and then you bring your particular, it was your email, but Azure Remote App, you bring your users, same thing, Contoso.com, your identity, yep, and you bring your applications. We handle everything else. You don't need to worry about those DNS, DMZs, scaling up, scale down. We're a finished turnkey solution. So worrying about the things that you need to worry about and not have to scale up and scale down. And so fundamentally, that's the reason you know, we have this elastic runtime to help you out with those particular things. Now, looking at this, going back to the slides, there's some very key things here that I want to call out. And so I talked about earlier, as you saw, we're creating these instances on the back end. And so these instances are really just hosts for the particular application. So you'll never want to store data on that because we're creating copies or clones. Your SQL Server should actually reside externally, either on an Azure VM or on a SQL Server, you know, Azure SQL Server or something. So never store data on those particular ones. It's always external. And then when you're actually, you know, one of the kind of key things that I in here is we're only charging in terms of our billing model. I'm not going to talk about billing in this because it's geared towards just understanding the technical details of the session. The active sessions count towards particular billing. You know, looking under the covers a little bit more. So tell me a little bit more about these instances is kind of what's going on. So Azure Remote App, the CPU fair share is enabled. And what that really does is so that we're a multi-session. So we put multiple users on a particular instance, that VM. Mm-hmm. And so we don't want a particular user to starve the other user. So if he's using a high CPU, he doesn't want to starve the other one. And so we have CPU fair share. There's no RAM fair share. So if you have a memory hungry application, it's not going to have that fair share. Now, this is nothing new. This is things that are just built into Windows Server 2012 R2. Nothing fancy that we're doing for Azure Remote App on that. So you need to be wary of your memory hungry applications on that. CPU is handled on that. So that's underneath the covers of how Azure Remote App works, kind of the architecture for that, and how it kind of behaves. So kind of the engine of the car, mm-hmm. per se.
OK, so we've gone through a lot in the course of that first 30 minutes. And actually, we've got a ton of questions on the Q&A. So we'll answer some of those in a second. Please keep asking the questions inside the Q&A, and we'll try and get everything answered. If there's anything that we don't quite get to, as I say, we will put a blog post out that has those answers in there. So just to tell you what we just went through there, we had a look at the deployment options, cloud and hybrid. Cloud, really great if you want it to be relatively easy to do the deployment, 8 clicks. Hybrid, really useful if you're going to be integrating with your existing on-premises environment. You need access to services which use things like Kerberos authentication. That's probably the place you're going to be looking. Creating a cloud collection, well, as you say, 8 clicks to get it up and running. And then a little bit of time for it to kind of build in the background based on the stuff we just very quickly went through around how the virtual machines are provisioned. Adding your own apps in there, you need to be building your own image in order to be able to do that. And then obviously you have to go through the process of sysprepping the image, making sure that everything is done just right. We went through exactly which images will help you to do that inside of the environment. Then also how you provision, what the provisioning process is like, why it takes a little bit of time for those machines to become available to users. You also covered a little bit about how the charging occurs for the in-process virtual machines that you're using, and also went through application compatibility and how we get that in place. Now, some of the questions that we've had come in are incredibly interesting. There's a couple that I just want to kind of clear up. I think we'll clear a lot more of these up in later modules as well. The first one, though, that is kind of an interesting answer for this one, I think. Is there a list of all of the applications that we support in Remote App? I guess the answer is no.
No, we don't have a list. We don't keep that. If the application, I would recommend to check your application vendor to ensure that the application is supported on Windows Server 2012 R2. Yeah. That's the primary place for that. As long as that application does, then certainly it should just work.
Yeah, that actually ties to the first question that Steve asked, which was, if we're going to use an on-prem application, does it need to be virtual compatible? Does it need to be able to run in a virtual machine? Well, obviously the answer is yes, but it also needs to be Windows Server 2012 R2 compatible, and you really want to be looking for the vendor to have actually certified it on the operating system.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. We had a question from Andrew about using Office 365 and the Office 365 images. Presumably they're as applicable for education as they are for any other corporate out there. They can use the same, exactly the same things. There's no kind of requirement for an E-level SKU or something.
It's strictly the Office 365 Pro Plus plan. And I had a slide on that that covered it. So basically, if you have any E3 or E4 subscription, then the Pro Plus comes bundled. And that's the shared computer activation. That's going kind of a little bit technical. But ultimately, what that means is that if you have the Pro Plus, the first time that a user launches Office, like Word, he's going to be prompted to activate it. And just he needs to enter in his email. So if you have eric@contoso.com, and that's what you've provisioned for him in your O365 management portal, that's what he would enter. And then it would immediately activate, and he's able to use that.
Yeah. I'll go back, and I'll make sure that we actually get a really firm answer around education and the education SKUs, just to make sure that everything's completely clear there, because you probably need it. It is a licensing thing. So we'll go down that route. Another question that's kind of interesting from Alan around the the default security that we have inside of a virtual machine. Nothing runs as administrator unless you're creating your own custom image and doing something very strange with it, I guess. But how do we think about the kind of the in the image security? Is it purely we create a user account every time somebody logs on and it's just a standard user?
Yes. So unless you've done something special in a hybrid deployment or applied any specific policy, all users when they log on are low rights users. So they do not have administrative capabilities. And so on, if you use one of the Microsoft images, and I add Eric at contoso.com, I'm not going to have admin rights in order to perform actions on that. I'm a low rights user. I'll get a UAC prompt or something that'll prevent me from doing that particular.
And what about machine sizes? When you're sizing your virtual machines, how do we actually select whether we're going to use which type of virtual machine, how much memory is going to end up in there?
Yeah, so regardless of the billing plan that you have, a standard or basic, we use the same size VM on the back end, and that's just a standard Azure A3 VM.
Okay, yeah, so A3. So the last question that we had come in that I really want to make sure we answer from one of the questions that Anna asked is it necessary to create a separate VM for each specific job that you want to do? And I guess that really means, is it necessary to create a separate VM for each application you want to publish? Well, the answer is probably not.
No. Put everything on one particular image that you need. And the only reasons that you might need multiple different images, and so images really align to collections. Why you would need to have multiple collections or images is if you have applications that don't work well with each other, or you want different versions of the application. I have version A, let's say the 2013 version, and now I have 2015, and they can't coexist on the same install. And so I'd need to have two different collections on that.
Okay.
That would be the primary reason why. You know, great options for that would be to leverage application virtualization. So AppV would be one. And so we do support AppV in Azure Remote App. And so that is an option for you to use on that.
Strange enough, that was one of the other questions.
Yeah.
We support AppV inside a remote app. So it's in there, which is incredibly helpful. We're going to answer some more of these questions in the next module when we come back in a 10-minute break. And we're going to be taking a look at how we publish apps out to our individual users.